Welcome to today's episode of Navigating Therapeutic Spaces for Youth, where I, Dr. Not Phil, help out you aspiring child and youth care workers cultivate an inclusive space. Today's topic is LGBTQ+ youth and what we can do to integrate them within an inclusive therapeutic milieu. I asked you listeners if you had any questions on the topic at hand, and one particular listener answered the call. She is currently a CYC worker, and she will be talking about her experience working with an at-risk child who identifies as gay. Please welcome Brenda.
Hello, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm extremely happy to be here today since we are going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, the LGBTQ community. This is a super important and relevant topic to touch on because it's still a major political issue. And as a counselor, I am pleased to spread awareness among those who are not that informed or just to expand the knowledge base.
Absolutely. We talk about this concept known as therapeutic relationships a lot on the show. Rapport and relationship development are essentially the epicenter of the work we do with youth, and spreading awareness and just generally being knowledgeable about what marginalized youth go through is an important first step towards building that therapeutic space. And for listeners who are unaware or are new to this topic, LGBTQ+ is an acronym that stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning. They are some of the most vulnerable youth. The Canadian Mental Health Association found that LGBT youth have higher rates of homelessness, depression, anxiety, and suicide compared to heterosexual and cisgender youth.
Yes, all of that is very true. As adults, I think we have better coping mechanisms and different resources to confront our issues. However, youth are particularly at risk and may need a little assistance. One of their priorities at this age is to feel validated by their peers, their friends, or their social circle. And failing to obtain this validation might lead to serious issues that they might not know how to manage. For example, some time ago, this youth came to my office saying that he was just wanting to talk with someone. After exploring this situation, he revealed that he identified himself as part of the LGBTQ community. He was rejected by his peers and was beginning to have suicidal thoughts. Of course, after that session, I offered my office for whenever he wanted to talk and referred him to the family's physician. But as he was my first LGBTQ client, I am not sure if I did the right thing or if there's some more strategies that I could have applied.
Well, first of all, I think you did a pretty good job. As leaders, if we believe that a youth is at risk, we want to do anything in our power to help them. And I do have some strategies to help youngsters cope with all those negative thoughts. I'm going to provide you with one I found doing some research on this incredible website called Psychology Today. It is called the Diabetes Strategy, and it involves 3 steps. 1, try your best to normalize negative thoughts. Talk about it as if it were diabetes. Diabetes have common concepts such as sugar, insulin level, and how to deal with an emergency situation. It's this normalized, well, partly normalized thing that we have clear understanding of in terms of the concepts. Step 2, talking to them as if they were an insulin-dependent kid at a party. Saying things like, I know it's hard to see all your friends eating candy, I wish you could do it too. Again, applying this sort of empathy to people whom are struggling with negative thoughts can really sort of help, you know, give them a sense of inclusion. And finally, create a family plan in case an emergency or crisis situation happens. What do you think about that?
Well, I loved it. I think it is an interesting way to help them and to fully understand what they're going through. When teenagers come asking for help, it is crucial that we know how to assess the situation, and also we need to be fully armed with strategies and activities to enhance their mental health. And you know what? Teachers also play an essential role in this because they are the ones who spend the most time with the students, and hence they have more opportunity to spot any kind of negative energy among them.
Of course, they can also intervene if they see or hear something that they think is not right. Taking this ethical high ground is an important building block for establishing a healthy group dynamic.
Yeah, well, you would think that every single facilitator will apply this approach, but in my client's case, I noticed that he was being picked on not only by his peers, but also by the teachers. I thought that combination was not good, because when the only people who can help you are the ones hurting you, it creates an unsafe environment.
Well, that's really heartbreaking to hear. I cannot emphasize enough just how important facilitators and adults are within any milieu. Michael Burns actually touches on this in his book, Time In, that children are constantly evaluating the behavior of the facilitator. Thus, we must model appropriate behavior constantly. We also must have a keen understanding of what the group roles are. Who's the bully, the scapegoat, the loner? The role of the facilitator is absolutely essential for intervention, and if the facilitator does not take on that responsibility, it could hurt already at-risk youth even more. What other experiences have you had?
Well, during this another session, he said something to me that I will always remember. He said, and I quote, "I don't relate to this world." At first, I understood it as if he didn't have friends or felt left out. But as he kept speaking, the meaning of that sentence changed completely. He said that he couldn't even go to movies without feeling weird because all the movies have romance between a girl and a guy. When you think about it, it is true, but it's so normalized that people don't even think that it is an issue. In the world we live in, all the famous movies, books, or TV shows and series are based off the singular standard of sexuality and gender.
Oh, absolutely. That's an accurate analyzation. We live in a world where LGBT kids hardly ever see themselves in the stories we tell. By doing this, we are essentially telling them that being straight and cisgendered are the only normal ways to be. A recent study from the Journal of LGBT Youth found that LGBT kids who saw themselves represented positively through media had used this sort of narrative escapism as a sense of coping and feeling stronger and more resilient. They also found and fostered a better sense of community. Once again, Michael Burns in his Time In book outlines this concept of therapeutic storytelling. Stories are really incredibly powerful tools that can be used for emotional release, desensitization, building rapport, and even for educational purposes. Therefore, not only are LGBT plus stories important for LGBT people, but they can also educate other children to become more empathetic. And I think facilitators should absolutely hone into this by having all-age LGBT media available for children to have access to. That is an incredibly important point for fostering an inclusive therapeutic milieu.
Exactly, and I think it is really important that society realizes this. Progress on LGBTQ issues are rapidly growing, but we still have a lot of work to do. And us as facilitators are accountable for establishing this. There is actually a song that I think it's brilliant. It's called "Everyone's Gay" by A Great Big World. And my favorite part, it says, "If you're gay, then you're gay. If you're straight, well, that's great. If you fall in between, well, that's the best way to be." And I think it just highlights that all love is the same and every single person should feel welcomed in the world, no matter their preferences or their appearances.
Well, that is absolutely well said. And I will definitely be linking to that song and playing it perhaps by the end of the show. I think those lyrics are incredibly adorable. And unfortunately, we are out of time for today. I thank you for coming on to our show as a guest, Brenda, and I think we had a really wonderful conversation, and I will catch you guys later.
Okay, thank you so much for having me again. I hope that you guys enjoyed it as much as we did, and remember, different is not bad.